Well, hello, everybody. My name is Jeff Mulpas. I am Director of Development out at Alpha Christian Children's Home, and it is so good to see each and every one of you today. I actually debated, I wonder how many is going to make it to church today. And I see that you all had a real good crowd that was here. I almost always make it to church when it's snowy. My grandparents, they were known for being the only people that made it to church. And they were the furthest people that drove to the church. And if they had to, they would go and break trail with the tractor and drag the car out with the tractor. They'd leave it out at the end of the road, and they'd go to church, and then they'd drag it back and over and over again. So that was kind of instilled in me in a young age. So it's great to see each and every one of you. Hey, this morning, before I get started, I just want to give you all a very quick update. God has been doing some amazing, great things out at Alpha. Last time I was here telling you about us starting the process of building a brand new house. That is already done, and our teacher is now in that house, and we're looking forward to the future on that. We are in the process of looking for house parents right now, so we ask you to help spread the word on that. We are needing to find staff that love Jesus and love kids, that simply want to go and treat kids that are not their own as their own. That's what we are looking for right now, and so if you can share the word on that and keep that in your prayers, that would be absolutely wonderful. And a last little update is, just like the kids up here, our kids were so excited. It was snowing yesterday. In fact, one of our little girls, she's 7 years old now, I was out working, getting things done, and I look up, and there's this little pink outfit that's swinging back and forth on the swing out in the yard. And I go, "Hey, what's going on? Are you out here by yourself?" And she says, "Yeah." And I go, "Well, what are you doing?" And she says, "I'm waiting on there enough snow to sled." So kiddos are looking forward to today. The kids, actually, much like your all's kids, they were saying, "Hey, is there any way we can go ranger sledding when you get home from church tomorrow?" Which is, we got a big snow tube, and then I pull them around. I don't do anything crazy with them, but just let them go and play in the hay fields and have fun and just enjoy the snow. With that, why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our sermon time. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for giving us opportunities to get to know you. Thank you for your word that we can open up and that we can study. Thank you for loving us while we were still sinners. Lord, we could pray for hours and hours of all the wonderful thanks that we can give because you are so good. Lord, even today, I know there's some here today that were saying, "Boy, I hate the snow," and there's others that are saying, "Oh, I love the snow." Lord, we want to give you the glory and all of the thanks, even for the things that we don't always like, because in all those things, we know you're working and doing amazing things as well. Father, we thank you for the cross, that we're able to have hope of heaven that was impossible for us if it wasn't for you. Lord, we love you so much and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so glad that Brother Mike asked me to come today and to share, but the challenge that I always have on this specific Sunday is, what exactly do you preach on? You see, it is still the Thanksgiving season, and so you really want to find yourself going and sharing about Thanksgiving. But it's also Christmas is rapidly approaching, and so you find yourself kind of in this middle area in between. Let me tell you a little story about how our Thanksgiving went this last week. You see, out at Alpha, all the kids are living in my house right now, and so we've got a whole house full of kids, and we've got all kinds of things that's happening. We've got other people that's coming over for lunch, and so we had kind of laid out this plan. We'd been getting ready all the way up until Thursday morning. And then on Thursday morning, after the disaster of breakfast happens, you know, there's Cheerios everywhere and everything that needs to happen, the kids all had their little goals that they're supposed to do. Yes, you need to pick up your underwear out of the bathroom and put it into the dirty laundry in your room. Yes, you need to go and help sweep the floor. Yes, we need to work on getting the last few dishes done. Everybody's getting going. And as the morning progressed, it just seemed like everything was kind of falling off the rails. Does anybody else ever have this on big meal days at your own homes? No, I'm sure not. And so, you know, at one point in time, one of the little boys is saying, "But I don't want to go and clean the porch. I don't want to put my shoes away." And he's crying. It's like, really? It's just like picking up your shoes and putting them in a row. And then my teenage girl that's living with me, she's like, "I swept the floors yesterday. Why do I have to do it again today?" And by the time Thanksgiving got there, the meal and everything else, it was like, I just want to strangle some people. I don't want to be thankful for you. I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever felt that way. Right, moms, dads? Right. And one of my teenage, the same girl that didn't want to sweep, she's like, why is it like this is that we're supposed to be thankful today and everybody's getting grumpy? I was like, yeah, well, if everybody did what you're supposed to do, it wouldn't be an issue. So that was our day. And then we get through Thanksgiving and we have all the wonderful times of sharing of things that we're thankful for. We try to have some of those good traditions and try to have some times that we're thanking the Lord for all that stuff. And then the nap comes in. And then what comes the next day on Friday? Well, it's Black Friday. We don't do the Black Friday shopping thing out at Alpha. We don't do any of that stuff. But it was starting to move on to the next thing. And that's kind of how it always feels like to me. Is it feels like we do something and we get it done. And then it's, okay, here comes the next thing, you know. And as I look on my calendar, there's a lot of times it's like, boy, if I just get past this certain date, then things are going to get easier because it gets a little bit better. And you know what? It has never happened to me yet. Has it happened to you yet? So I was like, yeah, if we just get past this, then we get to go and we have a little bit of break. And then, oh, it's the next thing. And then it's, oh, what's going to be better after this? Oh, no, it's the next thing. That's what's going on here today, I feel like. You know, as I was preparing for this, I really felt like I needed to share this, and that was, you know, that we are now 29 days until Christmas. Wow, looking at the looks here, you have the exact same thoughts I was, is that some of you are like, yay, 29 days for Christmas. And then there's others that are like, really, that little time? I have how little time to decorate the house and to do this and to do that. And so this morning, this is where I find ourselves at. We're in this life that we're trying to go and to find balance, and we're trying to find all the different things that need to happen. And if I can be honest with you, this is the time of year where I always find myself, well, a little overwhelmed. There's just so many things that need to happen. You see, in the month of December, there's going to be a whole bunch of phone calls that come in and saying, hey, Jeff, we want to come out to Alpha. We want to go and make sure that you're still doing the Lord's work and that you're still able to go and to that we're still going to keep you on our mission support for 2024. So that happens, you know. I had that happen several years ago where on one of those people stopped by. They assumed I was doing absolutely nothing and had time to go and visit with them for 2 hours. But when they were waiting on me to catch up with them, you know what they did? They went dumpster diving. And they're wanting to know what we were throwing away. And then they're so upset with me about, you had ice cream with the kids? How wasteful is that? And so I had to defend myself with that. And then we've got, you know, getting ready for the Christmas parties that's coming and all the different things that happen with the various Christmas things. And we've got all these tours that are going on. And we've got really a lot of the time, most years, about 70% of our physical donations we have come for the year come in the month of December, you know. And so most of the food items and most of the toilet paper and most of the whatever comes in during that time. And so you're constantly going and going, oh yeah, I'll meet you right down at the school, and then helping them unload and doing this and all the while trying to get things done. And if I can really go and describe how I feel when I hear the words, Thanksgiving is over and now it's 29 days until Christmas, I find myself saying, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to do it all. I hope that many of you have learned the idea of taking a Sabbath rest, you know, and being able to take some time to be able to just simply go and to rest in the Lord. But if I can be honest with you, I stink at that. There's always something that needing to be done. There's always something that's pushing me. And I find myself that I just go and I work and I work and I work. And I don't find those times that I'm able to go and to rest in the Lord. You see, just as the kids were picking up on, is that we're getting ready for a big meal for Thanksgiving. And what are we all stressed about? Well, we're stressed about all the details. Well, the turkey's not done yet. This isn't done yet. That's not done yet. You know what? It all worked out. But it wasn't as much of a big deal as what I wanted to make it. You know, we need to be careful about how we do what we do. Are you ready for Christmas? It seems odd to be saying that. We just finished Thanksgiving. I'm still wanting to have that thankful heart, what's going on. But it's like, you know what? We're running out of time. We've got to get things going here. Are you ready for Christmas? This morning I've entitled this this message, Weary World Awaits. You see, as we live in our lives today, isn't not just the nonstop hustle and bustle, trying to get this done, trying to do this, trying to get everything else done that we need to get done, and at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is just simply multitask our way to get everything done, hope that we don't drop anything all that important along the way. You know, there was an article that I came across in preparation for this. It was written by a gentleman by the name of David Burkus. I think I'm saying that right. He wrote it in Psychology Today, and what he wrote is that as we have become more and more busy as society, we are losing proficiency at anything. You see, what ends up happening is that although we think we may be a very good multitasker, what we really do is that we just focus on that one ball just long enough to be able to throw it back up into the air again and then focus on the next one because it's coming in hot, but we never become all that good on anything. If I can be honest, that's me. You know, I don't spend all that much time on anything because as soon as I finish this, I've got the next thing coming in hot and I need to make sure that I am getting ready for it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 and following out of the NIV, it says this. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, this message isn't about money, but it is that concept of having two masters. Honestly, those that were here in Sunday school, you know that I am speaking this really as a message to myself rather than a message to everybody else. I hope that you all get something along out of it. But really, this is a message to me, is that who is my God? Is it all the different things that we need to get done, all the different balls we're trying to juggle, all the different things we're trying to make pretty, all the things that is really distracting us, or is it really the one true God who sent his son to be born in a manger to give us hope of heaven someday? You see, it's all too easy for us to focus on the wrong thing. I shared in Sunday school, and it was on my heart because it's in right here, but one of the things that was really impressed on me, or pressed on us as men as we were learning to preach in Bible college, was that if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. And so what I have tried over and over again is to go and make sure that I am doing everything right and that I'm doing everything to the very best of my ability. And I have this attitude that if you're going to do something, do it as if unto the Lord, because you want to do it to the very best of your ability. But you know what? I've allowed the pendulum to swing too far. And I find myself being so busy that the things that really matter, well, there's no time for them. I find myself going through this holiday season trying to juggle this and juggle that and trying to multitask my way around and just simply hope that I don't forget something that's too terribly important. You see, this last week, I did it. Messed up. Tuesday, I had an appointment that somebody wanted to go and have a tour of campus. And there was so many things that was going on. I looked on the calendar and said, yes, if you want to be here at 3:45 on your way home, see, they had just been driving up 59 Highway. They saw our sign. They had no idea who we were. And so they had called a few days before and said, can we meet on Tuesday after school? And I said, yeah, 3:45, I will be there. I'll meet at the school. This is what's going to happen. You know what I did? I forgot all about it. The kids all got home from school. This child needed this. This child needed that. At 7 o'clock that night, I was calling this person as soon as I realized, saying, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I messed up. so many things that's going on in our lives on a day-to-day basis, that we're really, what we find ourselves doing is that we're just juggling everything, and that we're just simply hoping that we don't go and drop the wrong thing at the wrong time, and that we, if we do drop something, it doesn't matter that much. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, and I want to read this parable of Jesus. He says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and the birds ate it up, and some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear." Then in verse, jumping down to verse 18, it says this. It says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Anyone who hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This seed is sown along the path. The seed that falls on the rocky soil refers to one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. The seed falling along the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed that falls on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, and this is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." This year, as we're making the transition from Thanksgiving to Christmas, even today we're going to be setting up the Christmas decorations and getting everything done, so we have this transition that is happening here, and I simply want to ask, what kind of soil is your heart this year? You see, there's a weary world that is around us that so desperately needs the message of the gospel, and that we're called to have a harvest. But if I can be honest, I think that so often we find ourselves just simply saying that, yeah, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, now I got stuff to do. I've got things that's going on in my life, and so, yes, I've done that church thing, yes, I've done that Christianity thing, but now I've got other things that's going on because there's really important things to do, and I don't know. I think sometimes we let the most important things drop. This morning, I'd like us to go and to get out our spiritual mirrors, and that's something that I remember my dad, he talking to an awful lot when I was growing up, is that we need to go and get out our mirrors and just evaluate ourselves for just a moment. You see, he was always be talking, you know, about, you know, the things that mattered. You know, rarely did he say, Jeff, you need to go into the bathroom there and to check and make sure your hair's combed right, or that you need to check this, everything is right. You know, he rarely talked about that. Normally he was talking about things of character. And he'd ask, you know, what kind of a man do you want to be? And how are you acting in this way? And what's going on? And so that's the same concept I want to have here this morning, is I want us to simply get out our spiritual mirrors and evaluate ourselves and think about our faith. Has it been stolen by all the busyness and all the things that's going on? Is it dying under all the different stresses and all the different things that is happening, just as in the parable that was here? Is it being choked out by all the thorns? Or is our faith growing exponentially? This last year, just a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of going back to Ohio and helping my dad on his farm. You see, he's been having some health issues, and he found himself going in and out of the hospital over and over again. And as one of his doctors said, he says, well, if a farmer is in the hospital and not harvesting his field, he said, I figured I better get in here because something's wrong. And so when I found out about what was happening, everything, I said, Dad, I'll be right in and I'll give you a hand. And so I came and helped with the things that I could help with and do what needed to happen. And, you know, the thing is that in today's day and age, they're able to have great harvests anymore. you know, as we got everything done, I was doing all the math and figuring everything out. I said, Dad, really, the harvest was very, very good this year. I don't remember when I was a kid as having this kind of a harvest. And he says, yeah, Jeff, you're right. The harvest is, you know, getting better and better, and the technology is there. And I found myself asking the question, was that true in Christianity? What kind of harvest are we having around us? Is our faith being stolen because of all the things that's going on? Or is it being scorched because of the hard times that's there? Is it being choked out by the desires of this world? Or is it growing? This morning, as we make this transition from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I want to encourage you to get your soil of your heart ready, because a weary world is awaiting us. There is so much busyness, and everybody is so tired, and there's so many different things that's going on all around us, that if the message of the gospel can take root, it will take root in this environment that we are in right now. We've been so blessed by our knowledge of the gospel that we have become comfortable with it. How amazing is it that God chose to come near us and give us the hope of heaven, give us the hope of salvation from our sin? That is an absolutely amazing message. But let's be honest, we've all heard it so many times. It's like, yeah, Jesus came to save me. I got things to do. This morning, as we go and as we begin making this transition, we start looking towards Christmas, I want us to begin to be putting in our minds about that we are laying up heavenly treasure. If we focus on all the treasures of this world, where thief and moth and rust destroy, well, what will we have? Thing is that I've experienced some of that. I had a house fire several years ago, and I lost a bunch of things that I had really thought was valuable. You know what I didn't lose? I didn't lose my wife and my son, and that's what really mattered. You see, sometimes it's not until we get to the end that we realize what was really important, and the things that was really not all that important, well, we made that too important. So just like that Thanksgiving meal I was sharing about, let's be honest, when it was all said and done, did the floor really matter that much? Not really. Let's be honest, the meal, it only lasted 15 minutes. I mean, the kids at Alpha, they're all like circling buzzards that are just like looking for food. And so it really didn't last that long. And it was all said and done. You know, the one young man that was in my house, he went, and he wanted a turkey leg, and he ate a turkey leg, and when that one was gone, he says, can I have the other one? You know, it didn't really matter, but what did matter is the time that we were able to spend together. Allow me to close on this one thought that I keep on trying to dismiss, and I got to do better here this next year. What is the devil trying to make you do? Looking at my own life, I mean, there's sins and stuff that the devil's trying to make me bad at. Don't get me wrong. There's temptations, and there's all those kinds of things that's there every single day. But if I had to go and really boil it down, what is the devil trying to make me do? Well, he's trying to make me as busy as he can possibly be so I don't tell those kids about Jesus Christ. That's what I see happening. What is the devil trying to make you do? Is it trying to go and to surrender to sin? Is it trying to go and to drag you off to your own desires? Is it trying to go and to make this become another God? Is it trying to do this? Or is it you like me? Is the devil trying to make you as busy as you possibly can so you forget about the things that really matter? Tell me our society doesn't put an emphasis on being busy. In fact, I think that that's kind of become a god of our society. Of, you know, you talk to people and, hey, what are you doing? Or what's been going on? They said, well, I'm just busy. You know, I'm running here and I'm running there. I'm trying to do this and doing that. And talking about being busy or swamped or all kinds of different things. Even the volunteers that come out at Alpha that are working on various projects, regularly they go and say, hey, look busy. The boss is here, referring to me. We've almost made a god of busyness. So this morning, as we make this transition from being so thankful of the wonderful, amazing gift of salvation, of the wonderful, amazing gift of Jesus being born in a manger and being raised up, living a perfect life, and then dying on the cross for us, rather than us going and losing sight of that this morning, I want to go and just say, let's take a moment. Let's remember the things that matter and let some of the things that don't matter slide away. Can I make just one request from you this morning? It's 29 days until Christmas. Let's slow down just a little bit and remember Him. I'm going to give you all about 30 seconds to pray silently, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. Father, I come before You this day needing to repent. Lord, I think I take Your place all too often. I shove You off Your throne and I try to make it so that I am big enough and I am strong enough and I am able to go and to handle it enough. And Lord, that's not my place. Lord, this Christmas season, I just simply ask that You give me the strength to go and to let the things go that need to be let go and to draw my family to You. And God, I pray that those that are hearing my voice today, whether they're online or they are sitting in this room or wherever somebody hears me this day, Lord, I pray that You put that desire in each of our hearts this Christmas season. That rather than getting stuck up with all of the different busyness and all the different things that need to happen, no, Lord, help us to keep You as the absolute center of everything that matters in our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful for the message of the gospel. Because, Lord, I know that if it was by my own efforts, I am not good enough. But by You, You're more than good enough, and I'm so thankful for that. Help us to keep our eyes on You this Christmas season. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're at the time of decision. If anybody, or all the praise team is singing, if anybody needs to make a decision from the Lord, whether it be a prayer of repentance or accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the very first time, let today be the day of salvation.